Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville. Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, then obviously this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis will be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're discussing a big win for Joshua Boatse at the third and final edition of Fight Camp at Matchroom HQ, nickname Matchroom Square Gardens. Greg Richards could be a future opponent for Boatse. He'll join us live to discuss what next for him. Kell Brook said this could be the year we finally see him and Amir Khan in the ring together. We'll be discussing just how big the appetite is to see those two fight. And David Haye is making a return to the ring. We'll discuss his interesting decision to fight his friend and billionaire Joe Fournier. Don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
The fight that was billed as the test of his career, it proved to be the test of his career. Joshua Boatse, unbeaten in 15 fights.
And look, there's always talk about the Kell Brook fight, which we are in talks with. I mean, look, Kell Brook putting that guy in his place and beating him and then calling it a day.
I'm better off keeping quiet because there's more chance of happening then.
Come on,
this year it's something. It's got to happen this year.
All three for your winner by unanimous decision from Crystal Palace, Greg Spider Richards.
David Haye is the WBA heavyweight champion of the world. What a moment.
One thing is that we're both alpha males, so in my world and business, I'm kind of a world champion, should you say. And in his world, he's a world champion, but I was trying to go to his world. So I was always like Batman and Robin. Like, you know, that like Robin kind of always wanted to be Batman. So as time's gone by, I've always thought like, oh, what would ever happen, you know? Like, it's like big brother, little brother syndrome. You're always in the shadow and there's that insecurity about it.
Interesting words there. All right, let's get into the show. Loads to talk about here. We're going to try and cram so much into about 55 minutes here. Let's welcome in Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, firstly, how are you, my man?
I'm very well, thank you. Loving the banging Irish tunes there, I've got to say. Who was that last person we heard? Was that Craig Richards there?
That was Joe Fournier.
Joe Fournier?
Yeah.
Well, I got things to say about this today.
Ooh.
Because this is worse than a YouTube fight, frankly. It's worse than that.
I love it. You know, I love when I see that kind of passion. I mean, grab your whiskey where you're listening to this now, because you
Do you disagree with me?
I find it embarrassing.
I think we're both going to
talk about it. Let's start at the top. Let's start with Joshua Boatse ending fight camp with that knockout win over Rikard Bolotnicks. I felt like he needed to make a statement. He made a statement. But was it enough, Gareth, to say that he is the number one light heavyweight in the country?
Wow, in the country?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to go through them. Callum Johnson, that's a very good fight between them. Yeah, I could see him winning that.
Lyndon Arthur,
still a very good fight. Could see him winning that.
Anthony Yard.
Yes, I could see him winning that. Callum Smith, if he steps up to light heavyweight, I'm not so sure he'd win that right now.
Mm. Craig Richards, we're going to speak to Craig a bit later.
And there's Craig as well. I can't wait to speak to Craig about his mum, actually, as well, because when Craig fought Dmitry Bivol in Manchester a couple of months back, had a beautiful woman sitting next to me who was like screaming her head off for Craig Richards, right? Right? Beautiful woman, really athletic, looked about 40 to me, okay? And, you know, we were smiling and we were cheering. Well, I was writing, she was cheering. And then she got moved. She wasn't in the right seat. Mm. And then I found out it was Craig's mum. And I was saying to them, like, let the woman sit there, please. Yes. That's Craig's mum going nuts. That's the boxer's mother. And she did actually came back and sat beside me there ringside. It was one of those nights where I was in an area where you didn't test. And Ricky Hatton was in there. The Eubanks were in there. Mm. And on that night, of course, Chris Eubank Jr. fought.
Loads.
In his new half Roy Jones style, half tenacious Chris Eubank Jr. and Campbell Hatton fought that night. Ricky was there. So it was a really good night, but I'm looking forward to speaking to Craig because that was a massive learning fight for him against Dimitri Bivol. Mm. And I know we're going to talk about Joshua Buatsi a bit more. No, we're not. So, right, I'm going to talk to you a bit more about it now.
Let's go.
Here's my thing. Artur Beterbiev is a beast at 175, the light heavyweight division we're talking about.
Scary.
Holder of... Yeah, he exactly. Knockout merchant, very powerful, amazing chin, no emotion, does the Russian walkover when he knocks people out. Terrific champion, double belt world champion. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Dimitri Bivol, who's the smallest of the light heavyweight champions.
Yeah. Could possibly make 168.
Exactly. Mm. But a very clever boxer, boxes within his means, did a little bit against Craig Richards in that fight. Even though Craig had a few moments as well. And then you've got
Joe Smith,
exactly. And you know what? I think Joshua Buatsi's probably a fight or two away from Bivol, even despite what Eddie Hearn says, his promoter. But it's still a great fight. I think he's ready for a Joe Smith. Mm. But I'm not sure he's ready for a Beterbiev. But he's ready for all those guys in Britain as well. And they're all great fights.
Yeah.
And it just means he's going to have five or six amazing fights coming up in the next two and a half years. I like Joshua Buatsi very much. He was honest enough to admit, Addy, that you saw it as well. Bolotnik's pushed him between round six and nine. And then he came back into it after knocking him down. He thought he'd got the job done after six. But as we spoke about last week, he chopped him down like a tree. It was a really good learning experience because he took a few blows as well. Mm. He can tighten things up. I liked his compactness and I liked his willingness to engage that's come under Virgil Hunter. But all in all, I was very pleased. I thought it was a very solid performance for him moving to 15-0.
Yeah, it's interesting because you mentioned Virgil Hunter there. I spoke to him just a couple of days, I think the day before the weigh-in. And I said, how long does it take to almost get in sync with your fighter after how many fights? And he said, ideally three or four. This is their second fight together now. And I kind of got the fact that what he was trying to say was the fourth could be the main fight. So maybe have one more and then let's go. Four fight camps. He understands me. I understand him because I saw some things against Bolotnik, which concerned me if he were to go in there against a Beterbiev.
Yeah, what were they? Tell me what they are. Tell me what they are because I will know. I agree with you.
I'm a bit concerned about his head movement. Takes a lot of shots, does Buatsi. And I don't know if it's a case of he has to take his shots, or sorry, get his shots off to almost
he's
take a
shot. He's not fainting when he's attacking.
At all, is he?
He's not fainting. No, what's happening, I think, I completely agree with you. Saw it myself as well. Mm. When he gets that steely moment where he smells blood, and he's looking for a finish, he reverts to, it's not steaming in, but he goes in, lets his punches go. When he's on the back foot, he's so compact and clever and avoids being hit. Like you say, he needs to feint more, i.e. get the other guy to throw and then counter, and he's not doing that. And he's being hit by counters on his way in as well. Mm. And I saw that on Saturday night as well.
I saw a bit of the dark arts from him as well. And he might not admit this, but I think it was round 7 or 8. Obviously, he's put Bolotnik's down and he's unloaded absolutely everything and he was shattered. And he definitely did a low blow on purpose. It was almost like a case of, you know what, I'm going to win the fight, take a point off me, but I need 30 seconds here to breathe.
I'm going to send him a WhatsApp right now and ask him. You said, was that the low blow you're convinced was deliberate?
I'm convinced it was intentional.
I'm going to reveal on this show whether it was deliberate or not. Because you've accused him, and I'm going to send him a voice. I'm going to send him a WhatsApp message right now while you talk.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask Joshua Buatsi if the low blow was deliberate?
Please ask him. Ask him. Because, and the reason I say this, because he'd been warned by the ref a couple of times about that those low punches. And for me, I was looking at that thinking, that wasn't even on the belt. That was ridiculously low. And he didn't even complain about the point. It was almost like, you know what? I just need these 40 seconds because I'm shattered. And I think he even said to Chris Lloyd in the post-fight interview that it was a case of he literally emptied the tank trying to get rid of Bolotnick's, and Bolotnick's just stood there and it was like, I have nothing left. I need 45 seconds. And he got it. In the end, it worked, right? I mean, we see the dark arts from boxers in the past, and that was definitely, I think, Gareth, a bit of dark arts.
Well, I'm checking right now. I mean, he's not a dirty person. He's not a dirty character. I spoke to him on Saturday night after the fight. Obviously, yeah. I was presenting Fight Night on TalkSport.
Yeah.
I was in there with Spencer Oliver and he kindly came on.
You could feel his rave reviews as well. I see people talking about it on social media, your show with Spence. Everyone's like, this was fantastic listening.
Well, when I'm not comparing Ebony Bridges to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, funny that was.
I'm going to say this to you. I haven't said anything on my social media. I had one of the greatest honours of my life this week when Ring magazine came through the door. And I'm not saying this to blow my own trumpet, but they had Thomas Hauser.
Unbelievable, that double spread. Yeah.
And unfortunately, the pictures of me, I'd had about 10 tequilas that night at the American Rock Boxing Writers Dinner in New York. I'm sweating and absolutely caned when I stepped into the photo booth. But to be able to express to Thomas Hauser why I love boxing so much and to have it in Ring magazine, that I've written for 15 years as well, you know, half of the time that I've written about boxing. Oh my God, it was such an honor. In fact, it was such an honor and I feel so humbled by it. I can't even mention it on my social media. I haven't even mentioned it.
I think I saw Tom Gray say it or retweet it, and I was waiting for you to kind of, on the back of his tweet, say something, and you've not.
I don't know, I'm so taken aback, because like, it's like, you know, I write for the Bible of boxing, but for Thomas Hauser, Muhammad Ali's biographer, to ring me up, I thought he wanted it for a little piece, you know, he wanted to know from me why I love boxing so much, and why I'm still involved in it, and why I enjoy it so much, and you know, I've always got on with Thomas. And it was, honestly, when I opened it, I actually jumped back in shock seeing my ugly mug in there, to be honest. But it was such an honour and a privilege.
No, it was a good piece as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you talk about rave reviews, but Joshua came on and I promised to go to church with him one Sunday. And I've been promising for about 2 years. So Joshua Buatsi sinned on Saturday night. Is that what you're saying?
See, now you add the church and the sinned into the context. I feel bad saying it now, because after he did thank God for the performance. So I don't know anymore now. I'm not quite sure. We're going to speak to a man a bit later that clearly wants that fight. I saw Craig Richards on Saturday night and he was like, yep, I want it. Now, whether or not Craig Richards and he might come on and say he is ready for it or not, look, they're not scared of each other at all, right? I mean, Craig Richards put in a decent performance against Dimitri Bivol, but what we have got, Gareth, is a fantastic crop of light heavies now that, if it was a Super 6 tournament, would be a fascinating Super 6 tournament.
Absolutely. And as I said, you could put Callum Smith in there as well.
Yeah.
And by the way, if we had time, did we wax lyrical about Liam Smith and
Anthony Fowler,
yeah. Had that been announced by the time we did the show last week?
No.
I'm very excited about that fight.
Sometimes,
and it's a real battle for Merseyside. You don't need a belt, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a big step up for Anthony Fowler, even though Liam Smith, I know I'm digressing here.
No, digress.
We're talking fight shears, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're talking fight shears. So, like, Liam Smith's been a world champion. He's fought Canelo Alvarez. He's fought at light middle. But I tell you what, this is an amazing scalp for Anthony Fowler if he can do it. And Liam Smith ain't giving up Merseyside like that. There will be not a seat left in the house.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it's on the night that I'll be in Vegas doing Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 3. But I tell you what, the atmosphere in Liverpool, it will rock Liverpool that night.
That event will rock Liverpool. Honestly.
We talk about exciting matchups. Sometimes
that's come from nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It works. And when I heard the two names together, I thought, oh, I'm really looking. But that's the nuance of matchmaking, isn't it? It's so exciting sometimes. And It's just thrilling. It's just so thrilling that those two are going to fight.
Honestly, it's a fantastic little fight card as well that he's got. And I mean, it's sold out the Echo Arena, and it's obviously going to. There's what we've got on the undercard. I think Ted Cheeseman versus Troy Williamson as well as on the undercard.
All those hard bangers, basically. Yeah, literally,
know he's put all the ones that are going to excite the crowd. But you're right. I mean, when I spoke to Liam Smith, he said if he loses, he'll have to leave Liverpool. Basically, like,
he'd have to emigrate. No, he'd have to emigrate to Manchester. he'd have to go over the border and live in Manchester. He'd have to go to a different part of Lancashire. It's as simple as that.
Oh, honestly, crazy. Quick word, we are going to talk about this as well.
Richard, you asked me about Craig Richards.
Yeah, go. Yes.
Look, Callum Smith, Craig Richards, Callum Johnson, Anthony Yards, Lyndon Arthur, Joshua Boetti. Yeah. You can find two more.
Dan Isaiah Aziz.
Burton. Yeah, exactly. You can easily find eight in the UK and have a what do you call it? You call it a World Boxing Super Series, but you can have a British World Boxing Super Series out of it. It'd be brilliant. Absolutely. Honestly. Wouldn't surprise me at the moment because there's lots of things. The landscape's shifting a lot, isn't it? You know, it's like being in a kaleidoscope at the moment. Yeah. The whole world's changing and I'm swinging my arms right now and you're looking at me in a really weird way.
I'm looking at you like, what are you doing right now? That's what I'm looking at you, what are you doing? On the topic of doing crazy things, Brooke Khan might actually happen. I mean, we might get it. Yes, 6 years too late, but it might happen. What's your thoughts? Are you as angry as this as you are about David Haye fighting his best friend?
No, I'm not angry at all. I'm going to say their first names, Kell Brook and Amir Khan, because you just said Brooke and Khan. The truth is you can't say Brooke and Khan anymore. You have to say Kell Brook and Amir Khan because they've slid out of consciousness, apart from the big following they have. They've both been beaten by Terence Crawford, right? They've both been beaten by Terence Crawford, like roundly beaten up by Terence Crawford.
Easily. Easy work.
They're both over the hill, but this new DAZN Eddie Hearn deal, I think DAZN are prepared to throw a ton of money at it to hopefully push the fight out into the mainstream a bit more because they're very well known. So it's a strategic move. These two boys will earn a couple of million each for it. They'll put the money up. Will it happen? I think it will. I think it will snap. Yeah. I think it will, but it's a money fight for them both now. For Kell, it's a massive bragging rights story. And for Khan, he can't afford to be knocked out by Kell Brook, but I will be there. Otherwise, I will be square. And I tell you, I want to be at that fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic one if it does happen. And it will, because they've almost both dropped at the rate at the same time as well. All right, you're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, we're here every single week to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. We touched on it there when we come back, more on Amir Khan versus Kell Brook.
Kell Brook fight.
Lovely uppercut on the inside there from Brook. Radchenko took that well right hand and Radchenko goes down. He was caught around the temple, I think, and his legs very, very unsteady, just collapsed underneath him.
I'm better off keeping quiet because there's more chance of happening then.
Come on,
this year it's happening. It's got to happen this year.
And now the biggest fight out there in the UK is that one people want to see is myself versus Kell Brook. So 100%. I just want to put him in his place and then call it a day, yeah.
This is Final Extra. Myself, Andy Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis, the voice that you heard there, Amir Khan, who it sounds like finally now wants to take on his nemesis. I'll call him his nemesis in Kell Brook. I've been calling for this fight for, I don't know, I can't tell you how long, 8 years possibly. There was a time when Amir Khan, Gareth, said that, you know, Kell's got to go out there and win a world title. He's got to, and rightly so, right? Because at the time, Amir Khan was chasing Pacquiao and Floyd, and you know, Kell hadn't done much. He then beat Sean Porter, and I was like, okay, look, we're good, we're gonna get it now. And I've always said, and hopefully you can correct me if you want, Gareth, I've always said that the fear for Amir Khan was losing to Kell and losing to someone from his own country. It's almost like that's a big thing. You don't want to lose to someone like Kell Brook. It's almost a bit like the Fowler Smith thing. You can't leave your house, you can't. And I've always felt that Amir was scared of Kell. And I could be wrong there. And Gareth, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I've always felt that. Now they both deteriorate at the same time. It's the last fight for both of them. It generates any money. So now it makes sense. But I've always felt like Khan was scared of Brook.
I don't think he's scared of him. I don't think fighters are scared of each other. But I think what... I think the debate is more about who becomes the A side if they lose. So, no, but you're not off track at all. I don't think Amir Khan fears anyone. Like, he's an incredible warrior. Like you say, he doesn't want to be told for the rest of his life into his 40s and 50s that he got beaten by Kell Brook.
No.
But you go back 5 years, which is when it was really close to happening. Really close to happening. I remember writing ins and outs and ins and outs. It was like the Joshua Fury on-off heavyweight fight for 5 months. And then Amir Khan got the fight, the first ever fight at the T-Mobile Arena with Saul Canelo Alvarez. Mm. A terrible fight. He was with Virgil Hunter at the time. I remember Virgil Hunter saying to me, I really don't want him to take this fight. And he said afterwards, I really didn't want him to take the fight. Because Virgil knew, and Amir knew, that he had to be on point for every second of every minute of every round to win that fight or to stay in the fight. Because he was in against a guy who was literally 25 pounds heavier than him with a massive punch, with the wrong style for Amir. And if you remember, I think Amir was winning the fight. The judges didn't have it. I thought he was. But Amir's punches were bouncing off Canelo like wasps off a windscreen down the motorway. Do you know what I mean? They really were.
And that's a good analogy, isn't it?
But all Canelo decided to do then from around three onwards was like, right, I'm loading up now with every punch I throw. And Amir was never going to be the same after being sparked out like that. Mm. We know that since he fought Danny Garcia all those years ago, and it was shown in the Maidana fight 10 years ago, brilliant Maidana fight.
Fantastic fight.
I've watched that fight back with Amir for DAZN, actually. It's out there on the DAZN app. It's called Rewind. Mm. I sit with Amir and watch the whole fight. It's there on the app. Since DAZN is sponsoring all our boxing shows at the moment.
Plug them.
But I had a great time then. But that fight showed that if you punch with Amir, you can beat him.
Of course.
That's what Kell Brook will do in this fight. Will they sign on the dotted line? I think they will, because I think DAZN will use it to promote themselves into the mainstream, as I said earlier. And I think I make Kell favourite. I made Kell favourite before he fought Terence Crawford. And both of their timing is off now. It could be the most extraordinary fight.
I now believe it will be.
Yeah, it could. Well, look, they're both over the hill.
Yeah.
They both, deep down, believe me, they have massive respect for each other. They don't like each other.
Mm.
Kell, I remember sitting with Kell in the Winkerbank gym in Sheffield about 3 years ago. Because obviously Kell went then for Golovkin, didn't he? They both took ridiculously difficult fights.
Gareth, I'm so happy you mentioned that. Kell Brook, unbeaten, IBF welterweight champion.
Yeah.
How on earth do you then fight the guy that no one, even some guys at 175 were like, don't fancy that. Who makes that call to say, let's put an unbeaten welterweight champion in with a middleweight that at that time was literally folding people in half?
Yeah, I know. I'm breaking ribs of light heavyweights in sparring.
Yes.
Like hard light heavyweights.
Yes.
One of the most freakish punchers, freakish levers of all time. Pound for pound, the hardest puncher in the sport at the time.
Yeah.
Because why? Because they both were offered $5 million to fight them. Mm. Or I think Amir made $8 million for fighting Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
So it's about money. And it was about, God, I've got nothing to lose here. But they did lose something. Amir got sparked out worse than he's ever been knocked out in his life. And Kell Brook's career began to end because he fractured his orbital socket against a guy who punches harder than anyone else. And they were both fighting men much bigger themselves. As we always say, Addy, and you know this, there's weight divisions for a reason. So they both went on divergent paths at that time. And I think it's only now, with the shifting landscape in boxing, with the offers on the table, because it wasn't a pay-per-view event anymore. It ceased to be a pay-per-view event, a box office event, about a year ago. But it works for Eddie Hearn and DAZN, in my view. So I think it will happen. And I reckon it'll happen late this year or early next year.
Do you think it's, you're right, about 5-6 years ago, I think it's a fight that might have done Wembley. I know that's easy to say now, but there was a time when I thought they've got both so different fan bases, haven't they? And they'd all come together as one, and it would have done anything.
I think it was a football stadium fight, definitely. 100%. I mean, I mean, like Wembley was talked about at the time, and that was the time that we had Karl Froch and George Groves had gone to Wembley. Yeah. The year after, of course, Anthony Joshua for Vladimir Klitschko. Yeah, exactly. But now I think it's 20,000 at the O2 Arena type of fight,
not bad.
In my view.
Still not bad.
No, it's amazing.
It?
Oh, of course, it's amazing. Yeah.
What absolutely I don't want to see in this fight is Kel at 147. If I'm honest with you. And I feel like Amir will do that. Because Amir, let's be honest, Amir's the A-side here and he knows he is as well. And he'll
150.
That's fair. Exactly. I'm it happy is. You said that. 150 yeah, is fair yeah, for both of
yeah,
them.
Because
Kel at 147 just looks... I mean, it's the Ferrari no engine, isn't it? I mean, it looks amazing, but there's not much there. I mean, this is working with you, Gareth, if I start to use these type of terms now. Ferrari no engine.
No, Ferrari with a Trabant engine.
Yeah, that's basically what he is, isn't it?
No, because basically, he does have to strip himself down. I think 150 is fair. But remember, this was the sticking point, again, a couple of years ago, was what weight are we doing it at? So... Mm. It doesn't matter about a belt now. It's the championship of each other, as we say. Mm. You know, that's what this is about. And it's massive bragging rights. And if they have a draw, let's say,
yeah,
they'll do it again.
They'll do it again.
That's the great thing about
they'll
it.
They'll do it
know?
Again. And what's crazy is you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would have said Kel all the way. Like, Kel's going to win. Like Kel would knock him out. Now, after seeing the way in which Kel got dealt with by Terrence... Not sure. I know
it's
Terrence, but I'm not
50.
Sure.
It's a 50-50. Yeah. It's a 50-50 fight. I mean, Amir's hand speed's going to be dangerous early on. Kel's a championship fighter, brilliant in the mid-range. I do want to see it, and it'd be wrong if they didn't fight each other.
See, it's weird. All of a sudden, I'm excited by it. I actually want to see it now as well. Didn't care about it before. Now I do. All right, you're listening to Fight Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, we're here every single week to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. If you've missed any of the show or would like to listen again, then you can check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner. We were talking about light heavyweights, weren't we, just a bit? Just shortly. We are now going to be joined in a couple of minutes by, I think, one of the best light heavyweights in the country, Craig Richards.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Every single shot, though, is hurtful. He's on big Steve Grace on the verge here. And he does! It's over! What a win! Spider Richards, he has been waiting patiently and he delivers the performance of his career.
Is Richards' dream about to come true? Chitters responds and Richards with a left hook surely rips the British title from him.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the divisions in this country right now and you have to say that light heavyweight, it's a stacked division. There are at least six guys. I think if you genuinely ask the six, if they think they're the number one in this country, I think all six would say yes. And then you've got to chuck in guys like Dan Aziz as well into the mix, who's unbeaten as well, who's starting to climb up the rankings, English light heavyweight champion. We're joined on Final Extra, myself and Gareth A. Davis, by a guy that I think would definitely say he's the number one in the division. The reason I know this, because he told me this on Saturday night face-to-face, he thinks he is the number one in the division. That man is Craig Richards, who's coming off. This is where I like about boxing. You can learn a lot from a defeat. He's coming off a loss to Dimitri Bivol, but I think he, in that loss, finally realised that he belongs. Is that right, Craig? Am I just putting words in your mouth? I think during that fight with Bivol, I honestly thought going into the fight, you wasn't sure. Now, after four or five rounds, you guys are like, wait a minute, I can do this. This is a world champion. I'm beating world champion. I'm hanging with this world champion. And now you belong, Craig. You're there.
Yeah, I think it was one of them situations where ability-wise and skill-wise, I knew that looking at me, like if I watched me and I watched his style, I knew that I had the tools to beat him. But then you got questions answered, like the experience at world level is what people say about their punch power, their chins, their fitness, different from the domestic scenes. Although I felt like I know how hard I train and how hard I hit and how good my chin is, until you've been through the fire, you'll never know for sure. And as I was going through the fire, and we got to round six, well, round five when I hit him and I saw his leg buckle and I realised I hurt him. I realised at that stage that I had enough power to hurt even the Super World Champions. As we pushed on and he hit me and he didn't have no effect on me, I started realising that I can take their power. And as we started getting later to the championship rounds, you noticed that he was fading and I wasn't.
Well, I thought that exactly myself, Craig. Yeah. Obviously, I was sitting there that night and I had the pleasure of meeting your mother, Claire, who was going crazy next to me that night. You know, youthful mother you have as well. And we talked about it. She was still there at the end of the fight. And I was saying that is a massive learn for Craig there. And we spoke beforehand as well. A loss can sometimes be a massive learn. And you touched on it there. You can't buy that experience. And when it comes around next time, you've been through it. You know you can go through it. That's the key, really, isn't it?
100%. We're talking about a guy, a super champion that was avoided. Everyone's like, this guy is one of the pound for pounds. To come a round short on the English and the Russian judges' scorecards, we know how close the fight must have been. And it weren't at any stage where I'm just getting hammered and looking out my depth or getting off the floor and dragging myself back in the mix. We're in there competitive every round. Even some of the rounds that he might have got on the scorecards, they was close competitive rounds. It's just that obviously being a champion, you've always got you're always going to get the nod if it's close, which is fair enough. And I usually come into the mentality on title fights to know that you've got to knock them out to get the title sometimes or press a bit harder.
I know you want to fight for a world title again soon, but as Addy mentioned there, and we were talking about you going into the show, that Joshua Buatsi won at the weekend. Obviously, you were there. Joshua Buatsi, Lyndon Arthur, Callum Johnson, maybe Callum Smith as well if he comes up. I'm leaving someone out here. Who is it?
Anthony Yards.
There's six of you. Yeah. Like, do you want to fight all those guys? Do you want to fight all of those?
Yeah, I feel like at this point, I think us six, well, depending on where anyone goes, it's not, I wouldn't say it's more about these guys specifically. It's more about proving you're the best, dominating the weight, and winning world titles. And I believe that if we have to cross paths on the way because someone's doing as good as you and you're both meeting at the table, then make it happen. You know what I mean? I never shy away from a fight.
All of them, or is Buatsi ready for a world title?
Every one of them I beat. I beat every one of them. I believe in my source. I believe that I'm the guy. I believe I can punch very hard. I believe that I've got a very good chin. I can get gritty if it needs to be. I've got a very good IQ and I've got a very good jab and boxing ability naturally. So I believe there's no areas that I don't cover what beats them.
You know what I liked about Fight Camp on that Saturday was that there were light heavyweights all around that ring. Like all of them, all of you were there watching. So Dan Aziz on one corner, you had Lyndon Arthur one corner, then yourself as well. When you're watching Buatsi, what are you looking at things like, okay, like he's doing that wrong, or when I fight him, I'm going to take advantage of this? Are you liking some of the stuff he's doing, some of the body work, the double jabs? What's your overall assessment of that performance?
I don't break it down per se like that. Obviously, you'll see certain things outstanding throughout fights and fights that you might see holes in or in great things in, or you see what they do well, you see what they do wrong over time, a repetitive pattern. But I would never look at one fight and look, oh, look, he got hit here or he's getting hurt here or da-da-da and take overall judgment, because you do that in some of the fights. Like, I've had six rounders or whatever, and I've just been kind of going through the motions. You take that and call me out, next fight, I'm going to come and blast you out. So you can't really take someone's one performance, see flaws in it, and think, yeah, this is him. Do you get what I'm saying? People in the gym proving all the time. People got natural assets and people got certain things they just got. It's like, for example, not to throw shade on him, but it's like Khan. Like, we know time and time again, you see him get hit. You know when he gets hit flush, he can be hurt. He's been knocked out. If you're an opponent of him and you watch that time and time again, you know, if I land on this guy, I can get him out of there. So there's certain things
him.
That...
If you punch with him, yeah, you punch with him, yeah. Don't you? Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So if you watch someone like him, you'll see a repetitive pattern of that. And in every fighter, you'll see a repetitive pattern in them of where their weaknesses are and their strengths are.
I was on the Undefeated podcast, as were you last night, right? You know, they set me up and got Dan Aziz on there. They said, Ade, name your top five. I named the top five. I had you as second, by the way, Craig. I'll tell you why in a second. And I didn't put Dan Aziz. And then KJ let Dan Aziz into the chat. And I was like, oh, here we go. And Dan Aziz was like, you don't have me as top five. I said, not yet, Dan, not yet. I was on there, though, just before you. I mean, you were on there just before me, sorry. And they asked you about Boatse fight. And they asked you, would you want to fight him next? And he was like, well, yeah, but, you know, I'd rather fight someone else because for a world title, not that, obviously, it wasn't a duck of Boatse, but it was almost like, I fought for a world title. I want to fight for a world title again. Like, what do I get from fighting Boatse? And I was like, well, fighting Boatse is like, I think it's the biggest fight you can make over here. I think it's a massive fight in terms of raising your profile. But I feel like you're looking at it differently. Okay, go on.
No, I agree. I agree. I believe a fight with someone like Boatse is going to be like the cash fight for myself, the big money fight. So it's like, do you take a fight like Boatse as a, like, not as a tick over foe, just a passing by fight to get you onto the next stage? Or do you take that fight as your fight? Do you get what I'm saying? Where Eddie's going to have that as you two have a big fight, big stage, big arena. That's the fight. Do you, because for example, if I took Boatse next and got the win and pushed on, who's my money fight then? Who's the big fight?
Callum Smith in Liverpool.
I like that, Gareth, you're on point.
No, but I think because of Callum Smith being the number one at super middle, and he is a huge, he's 6'3", isn't he? He's a huge super middle.
Same height as me, yeah.
Exactly. And so I think for you, for Boatse, he's a catch as well, because that'll sell out Liverpool. That's a 10,000 sellout. And you're going into the Lions Den, the spider... Yeah. Puts the web around the Lions Den.
It's not the first time I've done the 10,000. We've done the 10,000, me and Jake, at the O2 as well, though.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think you and Boatse is not that big fight yet. It needs to build. I agree.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, you tick them off and it just goes unnoticed. I learned that early in my career, because when I beat Alan Higgins, who was a very good amateur, who beat a lot of big names even now in boxing, in the amateurs, 12-0, 6 KOs, just come with a good win against Chalarinda. I was six fights in. I said, what, is he the guy? Let me take that fight. I took that fight, got the win in a good fight, early, premature in my career, and it's not even spoke about on my CV.
Do you know what's funny, right? I've been around a long time in it, right? When in 2008, I was at one of the most exciting fights I've ever watched, and it was Carl Froch against Jean Pascal in Nottingham, okay? They knocked six bells out of each other for 12 rounds. They literally traded punches for 12 rounds. It was on ITV. 5 million people watched it. Carl said, and he won the WBC title. He put his arms up after he said, I'm a superstar now. He wasn't. It took about three more years after the classic Super Sixes for people to know exactly who it was. And then he grew from there. You have that crossover moment.
Even when you just said that about that fight, I'm not even registering Carl Froch has even gone and beat Pascal.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? It's like, it goes so under the radar and brushed under. It don't count on your CV. It's like these guys, and it's another thing I was saying, even like yesterday, I wanted to bring it up when the Undefeated podcast thing, people were saying at one point, Lyndon can be rated as number one because he's beat one of the five, right?
Yeah.
But what people never do is they never give you the credit of the opponent when you beat them. When I beat Shakan, he was top five. I wasn't.
Shakan was unbeaten.
He was unbeaten and he was in the top five. Go back to BT Sport the week before I even fought him. Is he one of the best light heavyweights? And his picture was with Boatse and them lot as top five in the UK.
All right, then. 14 right, and 0, then, Craig. Okay, then, Craig.
I blew him out. And so what credit have I got? Oh, he's not one of the five now. Craig,
people are saying you're the one or two, Craig. Like, on that, I've said you're number two because I like Boatsy. I have to admit, Craig. I do apologize.
I know you like Boatsy.
You know, I like Boatsy. Boatsy, my boy.
He's entertaining sometimes. I can see why you're laughing.
No, I like you, Craig, as well.
But that performance on Saturday night. But that performance on Saturday night did not show that he's ready for a world title fight, in my
opinion. No, it doesn't. No, so I kind of wonder where all these guys are going to go then, because I think all of them, and this, you could talk Anthony and Lyndon, because Lyndon was talking about he wants a money fight. Like, where do they go? Like, for you, Craig, then, where do you go? Do you fight some guy sort of top-rated in Europe? Do you fight a fringe world-level guy in America? What do you do next then if it's not going to be one of the Brits?
The only thing is, I don't mind fighting Brits, as you can see. No,
Badu Jack. Badu Jack.
He's a good fighter. I do rate Badu Jack. And I do think Badu Jack is one of the underrated guys as well. But I do rate Badu Jack. He's a very good name. Household name. He's a good fighter. I just think at this stage for me, I love a domestic duff-up, as you see on my CV. Mm. But I feel like I'm not getting international experience, really, am I? And I feel like each country and each different place, they got different styles and they bring different stuff to the table. And I feel like if I constantly just only box in my hometown with people I'm comfortable with, how do I progress? I've done all the fan-friendly fights, but I don't think still that it's really done me as much credit as it could have. Because if you look last year after all my fan-friendly domestic duff-ups, all the guys who didn't have any or had one, people was rating them as better than me. Mm. Well, I was ticking off people in the country, people knew, top 10s, top 5. Like Jake Ball, when I boxed him, who was he? He was the GB boy, big knockout 8%, only one loss out of 13 fights. The next Eddie's big prospect. I've got him out there in 3 rounds, dropped him every round.
I've got a new ring sobriquet, a new ring name for you, okay? You drop the spider and you become the road warrior, yeah?
Yeah. And I am the road warrior.
I know you That's are, it. But what? And you go to America and you go on the roads and you box in Los Angeles and Las Vegas and on the East Coast. That. And yeah, I think you should do the Puerto Rican style, the Mexican style. I mean,
would love that.
And do your PhD in boxing now. That's what I say.
But this is what I'm saying. I feel like I've done all the fan-friendly fights.
You have.
And still, it's like everyone's, because I entertain it and I always say yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Everyone always comes back to me to keep doing them. But why don't the others start doing it a bit? You know, you got Boatsy there, you got Callum Johnson there, you got Yard, you got Lyndon. How many have they had with each other?
But you earned an under the radar world title shot as well for that very reason.
Good
and
shout.
You'll do it,
well,
and you'll do it again. You will do it again.
Yeah, 100%. But I gained my experience because if I look at how my progress was in development, look, if you look at my first title fight, how I performed compared to when I boxed Shakan, you see the development. And that don't come just from hard work. It comes from big fights, big camps and big nights. And I think that's why I'm progressing better than most people.
Craig, you know we could speak to you forever. You know we could, but this ain't the Undefeated Podcast. This is live radio. And we gotta go.
That's fair enough.
We gotta go.
Guys, keep tuned. Number one in the UK. Let them know.
1A1B. 1A1B. I'll leave it as that. Craig, really, my man, thank you so much for coming on. All right, remember, if you're listening to Find Extra on TalkSport 2, if you have missed any of the show, would like to listen again, then check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner. When we come back, we're going to talk about the return of the Haymaker, who's going to fight his ex-best friend at the age of 40.
From Great Britain, David. Haymaker!
Hey! I know it's going down as a legal fight. It's going down on their records, but I don't see it as more than an exhibition, if I'm totally honest.
I think I'll see him tired, and I think he's going to get caught by a looping shot from me. The irony, a haymaker to the haymaker. That's how it ends.
David Hay is the WBA heavyweight champion of the world. What a moment!
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with myself, Andy Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Gareth, you know, about 10 minutes ago, I spoke about, I can't remember who I was speaking about now, and I said, Ferrari, no engine. That was it. It was Kelbrook, wasn't it? David Hay is that. I mean, David Hay looks fantastic. I was looking at him on his Instagram, and he was getting on the scales, 95.6 kilos, and he was in shape. And I was like, okay, what's he doing? There's something going on behind the scenes. He's not just getting in this type of shape for no reason. Then it gets announced a couple of days ago that David Haye will be fighting Joe Fournier. He's, I don't know, are they friends now? I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. David Haye's back. What do you make of it? Speak your mind, Gareth.
Well, look, physically, David Haye's always been an Adonis. He's an extraordinarily handsome and he's got an incredible physique. I remember when he was a beanpole 17-year-old light heavyweight.
Mm.
And he was skinny as hell, but obviously he's built his body up over the years. He's you know, he's eaten well. He's looked after himself. But physically, he's shot.
Yeah.
As a boxer, he is shot. We saw that in the last two fights with David with Tony Bellew, which were incredibly exciting. David had a four-year break before that, didn't he? After fighting Vladimir Klitschko. Obviously, I was there that night when, you know, there was a world unification at heavyweight. He's one of our great modern boxers, unified cruiserweight champion, heavyweight champion. I was there the night he beat Nikolai Valuyev, the 7-foot Russian, made him do the chicken dance in the 11th round, you know, with his legs clattering together. It was a tremendous night in Nuremberg.
I don't think he won that fight.
Oh, he definitely won that fight. He definitely won that fight. There were very few. We'll discuss it over watching it back filmed. Yeah, and we can prove you wrong. We'll do a watch back. But you know, his best days are gone. He's fighting a friend. For me, it's the kind of fight that we're criticizing the YouTubers for doing at
Agreed.
The moment.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a formidable world champion up against a guy who's his friend. He's not going to knock him out. It's going to be a glorified sparring session that the fans are expected to pay for at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. I'm very surprised he's doing it. You know, it doesn't do anything for him.
No, I say because do you remember when David Haye, as you said, he retired after Klitschko, then he came back and he had that fight against that Australian bodybuilder. I can't remember who it was now.
Mark Damory.
That's it, Mark. And everyone was like, what's he doing? And it was like, and then it was like, okay, no, I'm going to fight someone serious after then. He was clearly injured for the first Tony Bellew. He then kind of conned us and tricked us that he wasn't injured for the second one. He was still injured and done. I mean, he's been selling us pipe dreams now for the best part of 5 or 6 years, David Haye. So this actually doesn't surprise me. None of this does.
Well, I would stop short of saying conned us and tricked us, because lots of fighters go into lots of fights with injuries, all right? But, you know, like you say, he had the fight with Klitschko, he lost it. Then you remember, then he had the fight with Derek Chisora, remember, which was a great contest. It was the last boxing match before the Olympics in 2012.
That was amazing.
18,000 people came to West Ham. They had a cage separate. Remember, they had a steel
that was
fence.
Fantastic, separated. That.
Derek, I mean, I was there when they had that scrap in Munich that night. And,
was you there? You know, was in Munich there.
I was 2 feet away from all the punches being thrown. It was weird.
That was epic.
You know, he glassed me. He glassed me. Remember all of that?
Yeah.
And then Derek Chisora chasing David Haye all over town to try and find him.
That was absolutely epic.
But like you say, nothing before years then. Mark Damory. And then Arnold the Cobra Zhejiai. You know, and then the two Tony Bellew fights. Look, the Tony Bellew fights were really entertaining. David Haye is an explosive knockout artist.
Mm.
He went out on his shield in those fights.
He did.
I thought he was extraordinary. I don't understand why he's fighting a guy who's a light heavyweight, Joe Fournier, who's a friend of his, who's a billionaire in inverted commas, who runs nightclubs. I think they're jumping on the bandwagon. And do I love it? No, I don't. Will I be watching it? I'll be kind of watching it behind my fingers early in the morning after it's done.
30 seconds left, Gareth. Is there more appetite for these kind of fights than the YouTube ones? I mean, you look...
No. Simple as that. I don't need 30 seconds to tell you. Okay. No. Absolutely not.
All right, that was 10 seconds. I'm convinced as well by that. So it's a no from Gareth and it's a no from me. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.